Praise the Lord. All right. He has made me glad. Amen. You know, it's so exciting to know whom you have believed and that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against the day of His return. I'm excited, not because I'm excited. I'm excited, or not because of things that have happened yesterday or today. I'm excited because I have a foundation. How many of you have a foundation? And see, there's joy in having a foundation. You know that you cannot lose. Even if that something occurs that would appear devastating, you know before it happens, even if it were to happen, doesn't mean you wouldn't, the boat you're on wouldn't kind of shake a little bit. But you have a foundation that cannot be destroyed and cannot be taken away. Can you say amen?
Amen.
See, that's what you have to understand, and that's what you have to walk with. Because so many places are teaching you how to deal with your tragedy and your trouble. We're teaching you ahead of time. This is the greatest insurance policy I've ever seen. It's because I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. I've had people tell me that. How do you do that? It's not a how-to. It's not a how do you do that. It's that I have a foundation that God Himself, through His Word and through the Holy Spirit indwelling me, there's nothing that can take away my joy. I mean, it can, you know, something can kind of pinch and slap my flesh and kind of try to disturb me, disturb my joy, and disturb my peace. You know what? But it doesn't last but a second. Amen? Is that right? I said it doesn't last but a second because I know the power of God that works on the inside of me. Say it. I know the power of God that works on the inside of me. You know, it's helpful if you actually say these words. I can just tell you. Because that happens to me. It's powerful to say, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my strength, my high tower. Amen? You've got to say these things. The Bible tells you to say these things. Well, brother, that's just kind of hokey. No, I tell you, it's. Have you ever thought about the things somebody told you when you were growing up? Somebody told you, or things they spoke to you and told you about yourself. Well, you're dumb. You'll never amount to anything. These words actually make an impact on people. Amen? And the Word of God, not only just the words and your mind and the way you're designed, not only in that way do they make an impact, but the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul. That's the part of you that was raised here and listened to how to win friends and influence people. Makes a division between your soul and your spirit, the part of you that was created by God and empowered and given life eternal at the moment of faith. When you heard the gospel and faith arose up, your spirit came alive, and the Word of God divides between soul and spirit. Say it. The Word of God divides between my soul and my spirit. It's so good to say these things. You ever found that out in school? The best thing to do, I found this out, was to write it and say it. Say it and write it. It's impossible to get things properly unless you write them, read them, and repeat them. Just made that up almost. Write them, read them, and did you forget the last one already? Repeat them. Write them, read them, and repeat them. See, take those things. Take the Word of God, basically anything. I mean, engineering, you know, parts list, distributorships, construction. Write it, read it, and repeat it. Amen? God's doing a great work. And He's created you in such a powerful way. Remember when they were building the Tower of Babel, God came down to check this thing out, and He says, wow, well, these guys are doing good. He said, nothing shall be impossible to them. And look where we are now. We've done a few things. There's a few things that have taken place since making bricks with straw. Amen? I mean, God, nothing shall be impossible to them. So I better put a little slowdown on it. Amen? So it confused their language. Took us about up till now just to kind of get that figured out. I still can't speak Spanish. Amen. Seems like everybody can speak two languages but me, but people in the United States. You ever notice that? You know, everybody speaks two or three, four languages except us. There's something wrong with that. Spirit of pride going on somewhere. Y'all wondered where 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 went, didn't you? Amen. Well, you just kind of get off on one thing or another and the Holy Spirit just leads you. The last time I got a chance to talk with you, we were in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we talked about the fact that that you're in the light. You are in the light. Just don't get confused. Even though it appears that the world is in darkness, you're not in darkness. It's just exactly what we've been talking about. What do you say about yourself? What do you say about what's in your heart? What do you say about your circumstances? Do you say things are what you see, or do you things are what they are? Thank you. Very good. Things they are. Because God made the world and the universe of things which do not appear. He's got a whole toolkit of stuff that does not appear. And guess what? You have access to it. You ever read in Ephesians where now we've received Christ by faith and now we have access? Oh, man. Romans 5, we got access. Access is awesome, isn't it? Glory to God. It's powerful to have access into the kingdom of God. So, as we're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. We discussed this. For you yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail. So there's a they out there who's going to say, hey, everything's good. Then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape. But you, now see, he's making a distinction between they, there's a they and there's a you. So if you're reading this book and you're reading this particular epistle, he's already in chapter 5, so he's already made distinction between the believers and unbelievers. He's already made distinction. He's now talking specifically to believers. So he's saying, but you, who's that? A believer. You, brethren, are not in darkness. Say, I'm not in darkness. There you have it. That day should overtake you as a thief. You are also, so those who are in darkness, that darkness in the world affects them by determining when they sleep and when they don't and what's going on. It doesn't affect you. The darkness in the world does not have control or authority over you. So that day should not overtake you as a thief. You are all. See, you know, I tell you all the time, we read this stuff too fast, don't we? Yeah, I mean, you read, okay, got my reading done. Check that off. I know most of you don't do that. But so much of the church does. So much of the church is, get this Bible read. Get it done. Check it off. Get it finished. I mean, you know, get that whole thing. Now, granted, do you want to have it in a full context rather than stopping every verse? But then, once you have a context, then you come and let the Holy Spirit break that down and show you exactly what He's talking about. Take the words in particular. Well, every Bible is different. Every translation is different. They are, but, listen to me. The living God will distinguish these things for you. You are all children of the light. Again, he's talking to brethren. He's talking to those of you who've already, but you, brethren, you are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not by the inverse, we are not of the night nor of darkness. So don't let the enemy lie to you. Amen. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Well, you know, I saw what you did the other day, and that was just ugly. No, that was flesh. The Word of God divides between soul and spirit. Is flesh right? Is sin right? No. But sin, even though it appears, it does not have dominion nor authority over you. You agree with that, right? Huh? Say it again. Thank you, Judy. Well, you people don't. Are you afraid? Well, the devil might come and try to get me. He'll try to trick me with something I just can't overcome. He doesn't have that authority. He doesn't have that power. Because the power that dwells in you is greater. He that dwelleth in you is greater than he that is in the world. Thank you, David. Very good. Amen. So you are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, for that reason, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So the distinction is not with your body. It's not saying don't sleep, but he's saying don't sleep in your relationship with this world. Don't let this world determine how you walk. Now listen to what happens here. Because we did talk about this before. I think it's so important to go over. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Not talking about physical. It's talking about your soul, your spirit, informing your soul. For they that sleep, and this could be a nominal believer, people who are not yet solid in their understanding of how God has delivered them from the power of sin. Listen. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. Now, it can be sinners, but it can also be those who don't know who they are. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. How many know you can be drunken with this world? I mean, the world, it can get a hold of you, get your attention. You can be drunken with this world. You can be not sober. Sober is that distinction between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this world, and it exists every day. It exists in you, and it is your existence to worship God and to magnify His name in the presence of His people and in the world. That's who you are. You are a distinctive personality. You are not as those who were raised here, because you have a different set of parents. God. You have a different father. For they that sleep in the night, they sleep in the night. For they that be drunken are drunken in the night, because they don't recognize the distinction between this world and the kingdom of heaven that exists side by side as we live today. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. That's why when Craig talked about that this morning, it was, you know, hey, praise God. For an helmet, the hope of salvation. Scripture talks about girding up the loins of your mind. In 1 Peter, it talks about girding up the loins of your mind. Romans chapter 12 talks about that your mind is transformed by renewing of the Word of God. So you're girding up the loins of your mind, and that hope being the helmet, what does the helmet do? Protects your head, right? That's what a helmet does. The purpose of a helmet is to protect this part of you, your head, your mind, your thoughts. So you would have a helmet, and it says, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of love and faith, and for a helmet, the hope or the fervent expectation of salvation. What does salvation entail? Justification, part one. Part two, sanctification, which is, in this life, transforming me from the inside out. Part three, glorification, in some way manifesting the power of God in and through this personal, individual life, but ultimately glorification of this body into the kingdom of heaven when the Lord comes. So, that's the hope of salvation, is all three of those items. Justification, sanctification, glorification. That is the hope of salvation. And that's what we're protecting with that helmet. What do? Putting that on. You put on Christ. How do you put on Christ? What is He? He is the Word of God. The Word of God became flesh, and He dwelt among us. So that Word of God, and you are clean, by Jesus said, the Word of God that I have spoken over you. How many say, I'm clean? I'm clean. Okay, it doesn't mean you're sinless. It doesn't mean you didn't sin outwardly. I'm talking about from the heart. And what the manifestation of that is that God is working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He's working in you. Who works in you? God. He worketh in me, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So I'm worshiping Him, thanking Him, praising Him, reading His Word, meditating upon His Word day and night, so that I might put on as a helmet the hope of salvation. Again, putting on as your helmet the hope of salvation is continually putting into your heart the hope that is in Christ, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, my King, my Father in heaven, who has delivered me from the powers of darkness, is coming again for me. And I'm here to be a demonstration and a declaration of His Word and of His love for every human being on the planet. Amen? A written epistle. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, verse 9, interesting caveat or interesting segue. Verse 9, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. God has not appointed us to wrath. So, you know, we could look back at the end of chapter 4 here, and he's talking about that the power of God, or that the Lord Jesus is coming to collect His saints. And so that He has not appointed us to wrath. And we could look at chapter 5. Excuse me. And I'll pick it up later, because actually chapter 16 in Revelation talks about it specifically, is talking about how the enemy is coming to destroy. The vials of wrath are not for you. As we believe, or have an understanding currently, that there will be seals opened in the book of the Lamb of God. There will be trumpets. And finally, there will be vials or bowls. And those bowls are of wrath. And that the church will see, will walk through some of the tribulation that is to take place. But the wrath is not for you. The wrath of God is not for you. It's reserved for the enemies of God that are the enemies of faith. Amen? But you don't have to worry, because God will carry you. God will take care of you. God will walk with you. Fear not. Besides, you're going to have a lot of customers about that tribulation time. Amen? People still wondered how in the world you can walk so peacefully. People wondered how in the world you can walk so joyfully. Amen? And if you don't agree with me, that's fine. I'm going on the first load. Amen. You know, I'm not like hold it out for, you know, see how much I can, how much trouble I can find. But we're going on the first load. That is, when Jesus comes for His church, I'm going. Praise the Lord. How about you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Just may not be as early as some folks thought. Praise the Lord. It's okay. All right. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we should wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. So whether we precede those who are going to be caught up together with Him in the clouds, or whether we're here when He comes, whether we wake or sleep, we're going to be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. If you'd look back at the last verse of chapter 4, he says basically the same thing. He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, and as again, I'll read it, verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. Now, so what part does that play? That part plays right here, is when you and I gather together, whether in a house church, whether here on Sunday morning, this is where we comfort one another. This is where we encourage and bless one another. We're having fellowship, prayers, breaking of bread, and the Word of God. That's what the church has been since the very beginning, Acts 2:42. That's what we do. And we come together to build up and encourage each other. I mean, that's the command of God. Amen? That's the command of God. Why? So that you're built up, so that you're encouraged, so that this testimony that I'm testifying to you today is your testimony. And because one day something will come across my path that it'll be in my bones and my flesh, it might be difficult for me to get up past it. But you're there, thank God, you're there, and you showed up, and you can build me up, and you can strengthen me. Amen? How many know pastors need strengthening? They need help. They need love. Amen. Thank God. And we beseech you, brethren. That's just the next verse, right? And we beseech you, brethren. This is Paul talking to the church at Thessalonica. You remember the church at Thessalonica had already, if you'd read chapters 1 and 2, they already had a reputation of walking in joy and walking in faith and walking in power, that when Paul would show up down up in Macedonia or down in Achaia or some other part of an adjoining area, that they would be telling him, hey, did you hear about Johnny up there at Thessalonica? Him and Bob came down here and they started praying for our people and they started loving us. And so Paul was excited because he didn't have to go tell them about these people. These people were already making an impact. And that's true of you guys, right? Amen. You guys are making an impact on everybody that you come across because of your faith. Not because of some great things that you're accomplishing, but it's because of your love. That's what this was. It's because of their love and their faith. See, you run into somebody who's filled with love, filled with joy, filled with peace. You go, I want to hang out with them. Amen. It's not somebody who's preaching to you all the time, but then you ask them, what do you got? Where'd you get that? You know? And you begin to ask them what they have. See, that's what you want to do. You want to walk around in love so that every person who comes in contact with you will ask, what in the world? Where'd you come from? I want to hang out with you. Amen? I mean, that's why everybody who's in here and doing business, I mean, you know, they're obviously not all here. Amen? Those people that you're talking to at work or in school, they're not here on Sunday morning, are they? Should be, but they're not. However, you're out there being a demonstration of God's love and power. Amen? Yes. Do you? And I want you to just believe in that. Don't hope you have something. Just walk in knowing you have something. Amen? Amen. You're a shining light everywhere you go. I am. Ooh. Amazing. Flavorful. All right, ready? That set over you is to care for, to give attention to superintend, or to preside over, to be a protector and a guardian. So when the Bible talks about elders being over you in the Lord, it's like a dad, basically. It's like a dad. It's not like a king. It's like a dad who is there to protect you, to care for you, to watch over you, to give you a spanking if you need one. Amen. But to do it in love, because that God is training you up and wanting you to be out there driving around. Esther's driving around now. I'm thankful that I don't have to drive her around everywhere now. But we had to train her and teach her how to drive right and how to do things correctly. Amen? So that's what we're doing with y'all. We're teaching y'all how to drive right. Signal. Make sure you signal. Make sure you're doing all these things that will carry you into a relationship with, in that case, with other drivers, getting you where you need to go in an appropriate way. Well, what this is we're getting you set up in an appropriate way to minister the love of Jesus, to know that your sins are forgiven, to know that God is with you and manifesting himself in and through you, that when you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Amen? That when you preach the gospel, it is effective. Well, let me go get Pastor Jim. Let me go get Pastor Dave. No! Well, that's why we only have one telephone. Amen? Is that, no, you are a full-fledged Christian.
Yes.
Amen. Filled with the Holy Ghost. You are not second class. You're not like a lower echelon. Say amen. I mean, you're the power of God. Amen? The power of God is working on the inside of you. And you have that expectation. Amen? That's why they sent them out, and they went out, and God actually allowed the dispersion from Jerusalem. And where did they go? Everywhere. They went everywhere, preaching and declaring the kingdom of God. That's how come you and I are here today, 2,000 years later. Amen? There's always a remnant that God had. I mean, Paul is not alive. Peter's not alive. They didn't make it. They didn't make it like to Methuselah. They didn't, have a pope for the first 960 years, the same guy. No, these people were dead within months, within years. And so it was handed off to somebody else. And right now it's handed off to you. Amen. So we beseech you that know then that labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love. So just love us. Just love us. In love for the work's sake. And be at peace. The best thing you can do is just peace among yourselves. Well, I'll tell you what, that'll cut our workload down so much. You just be at peace among yourselves. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm just reading it out of the Bible. I didn't plan this. Nobody called me. Be at peace among yourselves. All you, what's the name of those feud people? Hatfields and the McCoys. Yeah, those are in most churches. Yeah, Hatfields and McCoys are in most churches. Yeah, in some way, yeah. A lot of times they're called husbands and wives. And praise the Lord. Yeah. But God's doing good things. Amen? Because God said, be at peace among yourselves. Well, how do you do that? You get into the Word of God. And you find out what God said about you. What God said about who you are and how you walk. Amen? And because He said, I'm going to cover you. If I commanded this, I'm going to cover you. I'm going to cover you. Amen? Isn't that right? He's going to cover you. Amen. You just follow what He said. Just follow what He said, and then He'll pick up the pieces afterward, and He'll cover you, because if you just are trying to make it work on your own, somehow it just doesn't work that way. It just wasn't created that way. You don't have six fingers. It just doesn't work that way. We make tools for the hands that we have. Why? Because that's how the tool works. You don't make a tool that would for a, elephant, because you're not an elephant. Elephants don't have any fingers, they got a trunk. They might be able to hold a hammer. I don't know how good they do with a saw. I know they couldn't drive. We didn't create cars for elephants to drive. Amen. So God didn't create laws and commands for not to be fulfilled by people. But he knew that people could not fulfill them in themselves. So what he did is he comes and lives on the inside of you and fulfills it himself, but you have the hands, the eyes, the feet to actually perform it, even though your will is weak and your obedience is lacking. Amen? But yet, physically and mechanically, everything can be accomplished by that which is God created you with. Right? Well, I hope this is getting clear. Is this clear as mud? Praise the Lord. Amen. God created you, but then he has to actually do the work. But he did create you with the tools to finish it, to do it. But he has to actually get into your mind and get into your will and make it happen. So you esteem those pastors very highly for their love, in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort, what'd I say? Oh, that was just a mishap. Okay. That wasn't me. Now, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Oh, that's terrible. Anybody want to raise your hand? Praise the Lord. Yeah, look that one up. Yeah, somebody's Googling it right now. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. Be patient toward all men. See step one. Go to Jesus. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil to any man. In other words, just because somebody did something to you doesn't mean you the righteous thing to do is to do it to them. I remember Pastor Robert, when he was here, he used to say, that was the most Christians' idea of the golden rule was do others before they do you. I think some people walked away with that, actually. Do unto others before they do unto you. But that is not the golden rule, is it? That's not what Jesus said, is it? That one's right up there with God helps those who helps themselves. All right, praise the Lord. So see that none render evil for evil to any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Follow that which is good both among yourselves and those bad people. So, in other words, Christians don't get to just not cheat each other. They get to not cheat the world. Amen? Praise God. Amen. Don't be a Christian plumber or a Christian. Just be a Christian. Don't be a Christian plumber or a Christian mechanic. Just be a Christian. And I think God will take care of the rest. Amen? Yeah, people want to put Christian on their business, but they still operate in the flesh. Okay, now watch these things, these next ones. These are great. See, because of what he's talking about now is because here comes the end of the world. Here comes we have darkness, but he says, first of all, make sure that you're aware of who you are and where you live. You are not in darkness. Remember that part? You are not in darkness. You are of the light. Therefore, warn them that are unruly. The unruly would really be those who are kind of on that edge, who are not quite sure whether they're in the light or in the dark. And you need to encourage them and to build them up. The warning is not, all right, you better shape up. The warning is, who are you? Show them. Take them back to the Word of God. Show them who they are. Warn the unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Those who are weak in their minds. Support the weak. Come on, dude. Buck up. You know? No, support them. Doesn't mean pay their bills. It means encourage them and show them the way. Amen? Amen? It's okay to help somebody if they're on the way up, but if they're on the way down and they're still doing stupid stuff, just kind of keep an eye on them. And when they're ready, you can help them. We like to help, and we're so good at that. We're so good at helping people on the way down, and it's so much of a waste of resources. Amen? I'm not saying don't help them once, but once they continue in the same path, you call me when you're totally done. And we'll get you built back up again. We'll get you on the right path. Amen? Because, I mean, we are soft-hearted, aren't we? See? What did I tell you? All right. Verse 16, now look at it. Rejoice evermore. And try that. Try that once. I mean, right now.
Hallelujah.
Excellent. Evermore. Well, that's part. Well, start. That's the start. Yeah. Yeah, you got to keep going. Yeah, that's right. Evermore. Yeah, somebody had to pull your rope. Get you started. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Wow, that'd be hard. Especially when you're driving. Amen? Well, most people think you have to fold your hands, close your eyes. That's how I learned. Pray without ceasing. What is pray without ceasing? You're constantly in communication with the living God and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Yeah, that's praying without ceasing. That is, don't let anything interrupt your fellowship and your communication with the Lord. Amen? No trouble, no people, no pastors, no brothers and sisters. Pray without ceasing, having constant fellowship and walking with the Lord. Amen? Well, I was having a meeting with four lawyers or having a meeting with a customer. Does that mean I can't stop praying just to talk to that customer? Sure. You just pray from your belly. Amen? You just pray from the inside. You're praying all the time. You're in constant fellowship with the Lord. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. I mean, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Are y'all there? Let's read that together. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He expanded on that one. He didn't just, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Gratitude. Amen? He made a point of it, in my estimation. Just because I kind of read it. Gratitude, walking grateful in a grateful attitude, grateful way, gratitude for what God has done, certainly for what He's done, for what you have. Give thanks for those things which you have. So gratitude and being thankful will change your life. Amen? It will. Gratitude and thankfulness will change your life. Thanksgiving changes your life. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. In everything, give thanks. Just remember, write that on your fridge. I always tell girls to write it on their mirror in lipstick. You know, on your mirror in the thing. I guess men could write it in deodorant or something. It's white. What? Well, they don't have lipstick, I don't think. You trying to trick? You trying to tempt me, brother? Praise the Lord. Quench not the spirit. Shh, no, quit, not now. Quench not the spirit. No, not now. I can't. I'm in a meeting. Quench not the spirit. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Don't quiet him down. Don't put a muzzle on the Holy Spirit. Quench not the spirit, or on your acting on the Holy Spirit. That takes some courage, but it also takes some getting close to the Holy Spirit, learning to listen to the Lord and not listen to flesh. Amen? Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. See, God speaks over through prophecy. Does everybody get it right all the time? No. But don't despise it. Don't despise it. Don't despise the inspired utterance of the Lord, whether it comes through preaching, whether it comes as an individual to someone else. The Bible also tells you to test the spirits and judge prophecies, all right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, tells you to judge a prophecy based on the Word of God, based on how the heart of the person who's the means by which it's being delivered. So, but to throw the baby out with the bathwater, that is, to throw the whole thing out, well, that prophesying thing, that just doesn't go for anything. Because don't you know everybody has said that from the beginning when Abraham first heard from God. You're going where? You're going to do what? And who told you? Huh? How about that? I mean, even Cain was mad at Abel. He killed him. Abel heard God. Cain despised him. Huh? Cain did what Dad told him to do. Well, you know, if you're going to inherit, you're going to give this sacrifice. Well, I'll just give, you know, what I got. You know, Abel believed and Abel declared, and Abel, even his blood, spoke from the ground, God says. Despise not prophesying. I mean, sometimes some prophesying gets you in trouble. Amen? Get you in hot water. You look like a crazy person. But make sure you heard God. But you're following God, you'll hear it. Amen? All right. Despise not prophesying. 21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. All right? Now, over in John chapter 1, or 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, he says, try the spirits. John says, try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So in other words, there's a warning that there are false prophets. So prove, test the spirit of the prophecy, whether it be of God. Find out whether the Word of God supports it. Find out whether the prophecy supports it. Find out whether or not that believer, that person, is a true believer in the Lord, or whether they're just trying to get your money. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Okay, now look here at, I also want to read out of Revelation chapter 16, that verses 12 through 15. When the sixth vial is poured out, three unclean spirits like frogs came out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of Almighty God. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So you see here, that knowing the distinction of the prophetic and understanding how to test those spirits will determine whether or not you are able to, in the last day, when Jesus is coming as a thief, which we discussed earlier in this chapter, is you're going to be able to hear clearly and not be deceived. Because there will be all kinds of miracles and all kinds of things going on, supernatural things, that will deceive many. Daniel says it. John says it in Revelation, that will deceive many. Those are those who we talked about earlier in the chapter are walking in darkness, because they don't. All they do is listen to it on television. They don't have the personal relationship with the Lord. They don't know the distinction between the true gospel and that which is evil. So prove all things, that is, how do you do that? You get in the presence of God. You have that relationship that we discussed earlier, being walking together, walking with one another in the Lord, ministering to each other, building up each other, sharing these things with each other, and then going back to the Word of God. That's what the importance of these epistles is that these are teaching people how to grow up in the kingdom of heaven. Amen? And that's what you and I are doing, is walking together in the kingdom of heaven and seeing how God is bringing His will and His word to pass in you and me. All right? Abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That's just wisdom. Amen. Teach your kids that. Then teach yourself that. Amen. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Why? Testimony. It's your testimony. It's because, see, the appearance, abstaining from the appearance of evil is also abstaining from walking in darkness and appearing to be one of the Joes that is sleeping when they sleep and drinking when they drink. Amen? So separate yourself. Separate yourself. Walk as among the kingdom of heaven. Amen? I'm specifically, you know, referring back to the scripture where he says, those that sleep, sleep in the night. Those that are the drunken are drunken in the night. What they are is they're seduced by this world. They should be. They shouldn't be. They should know who they are in Christ Jesus. But they are, you know, sleeping at the same time that those who are in darkness sleep. They're drunk in the same time. They are inebriated by the world. The world has taken them, and they have drunk that drink. They have decided that the world is, it's not so bad. Amen? You got to understand, the world is passing away. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And again, that's going to be by the Holy Spirit. That's going to be the living God showing you how to walk. Amen? And obey. Listen. Quench not the Spirit. Oh, that wasn't God. No, quench not the Spirit. That's going to quench not the Spirit. Verse 19 will help you with verse 22. Verse 23. All of these things, I'm going to read them again. Ready? Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll read that again. Amen. And the very God of peace sanctify you completely. And I pray that your whole, listen to this. Everybody say it. Spirit, soul, and body. If you ever wondered whether you had a spirit, a soul, and a body, there it is. Huh? That's it. There is a three part to you. Yes. Spirit, soul, and body. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless without any place to find an accusation. Because you walk in forgiveness. You walk in complete forgiveness. Amen? Until the coming of our Lord Jesus. Until. Not after the coming of our Lord Jesus. Until. So I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus. Now read verse 24. Look at that. Now how does that happen? How does all this happen? Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. Everybody say that with me. Faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. He's going to do it. So who's going to do that? Who's going to perform all these things, starting with rejoice evermore and prove all things and despise not prophesying, quench not the spirit, be thankful, be grateful. Who's going to do all these things? Faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. Well, you know, when I first read that one, I just jumped out of my chair. Do you ever do that? Do you ever see a scripture that just sets you free? Huh? That's like that one where he says, sin shall not have dominion over you. That's almost like a little ditty, almost like a little song. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. Amen. Is that good? Somebody say something. Come on. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren. Boy, that's quite an ending. Basically, he's closing up at verse 24. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. Well, we just did that. Yeah, amen. Yes! Glory to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I got to go check something back over here. Philippians for a second. I had something notated. Y'all know where Philippians is, don't you? Do we need to have a sword drill? I always ask Janet what they used to do in the Baptist church. She says, I hadn't been in the Baptist church in a long time. All right, where is it? Okay. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Philippians 1:10. Oh, here. Okay. If you look at this in verse 9 of chapter 1 of Philippians, it says, "And I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." Amen. Oh, praise God. All right, you write that one down too. Amen. And tie that to 1 Thessalonians 5:21, where he says, prove all things. And so that you may approve all things that are excellent. And because his prayer was that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. How many know that your love abounds in knowledge and judgment? Your love abounds. So everything is based on love. Everything's not based on knowledge and judgment. I mean, judgment will kill if there's not mercy tied to it. Amen? All right. Praise God. And I'm going to read look at one more thing, and then I'll let y'all go. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay, here. Again, prove all things. Everybody say that. Prove all things. All right. Hold fast that which is good. Okay, now, I'm looking at Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and I wanted to actually read it. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Remember girding up the loins of your mind? That you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, being transformed by the renewing of your mind to the Word of God and to His Spirit, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. So you may become a demonstration, that you may demonstrate What is that? Good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How does that happen? That's working. I mean, that because it, the Word of God works in you. Amen? Remember Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. God is working in you both to will it and to do it. Exodus and one of the Chronicles. Both Moses building the tabernacle, David building the temple, collecting the items for the temple. They needed all the gold, they needed all the materials. And God came and made each man's heart willing. Who makes you willing? God makes you willing. God make me willing. Because I'm not. I'm not. My soul is not, but my spirit is. I'm willing. But will it in me. Make me willing. So, in fact, they had to tell him to quit giving. God made him so willing. They said, whoa. Oh, not enough room. They had to tell him, okay, quit giving. God, quit making him willing. Because it was giving too much. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God's making you willing. Amen. You're willing. He changes your willer, and then he changes your doer.
Amen.
God is good, isn't he? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's lift our hands and thank you. Father, we worship you. I love you, Lord God, with all my heart. You have made me glad. You have made me glad. I will rejoice, for you have made me glad. So today, Lord God, let your word be demonstrated. Let your word and your power be demonstrated in us, that we do not walk in darkness as those who are in the light but walk in darkness. We are those who are of the light. That's who we are, and we declare it, and we walk in it, and we rejoice in it, and we give you praise. And Father, care for it. Cause us to walk in these things, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.